Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I sought this office to restore the soul of America, to rebuild the backbone of this nation, the middle class, and to make America respected around the world again. And to unite us here at home. It's the honor of my lifetime that so many millions of Americans have voted for that vision. And now, the work of making that vision is real. It's a task, the task of our time.
Come on, Joe Biden.
I'm going to tell you something as a woman, as an aunt to a four-year-old little girl.
Pause. I need to restate that. President-elect Joe Biden.
Hello.
Continue.
Hello. Seeing a President-elect Joe Biden and, more importantly, our VP, Kamala Harris, this weekend, Saturday night, I think people, the emotions were so overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
I read so many times, I don't know why I'm crying as hard as I am. I just can't stop.
I'll tell you why. This weekend was an emotional release for millions and millions and millions of Americans and people around the world. It felt as if, and I know there's half the country or less than half the country really upset right now. I get that. I understand it. This one was different. It felt like 4 years of an abusive relationship for many, and there was a lot more trauma attached to the Trump presidency than I think a lot of people even realized.
Yeah.
We just got used to coping with the insanity of it all, the constant tweet barrages, like the lack of respect for the other side. We just dealt with it for 4 years. And Saturday, what we saw was what we'd hoped and prayed for, was that kindness still has a place in American democracy, and it does.
Well, it's amazing because if you don't understand the trauma, if you just went to Instagram, I mean, people and celebrities, including Lizzo, just went on Instagram crying and saying, I don't know what to say. I just feel happy. A lot of celebrities and regular people said, I'm happy, but there's still a lot of work to do. So
sure.
Let's not get
distracted. I think there are a lot of layers to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that any other Democrat this year is terrible as I feel that President Trump has been, any other Democrat might have lost that race. And I think if we push too hard to go too far left, too liberal on this one, he could have lost it. I think the reason that Trump could have won, I think that the reason the Democrats were able to pull this victory out was because Joe's also old like Donald Trump.
He's still respected by a lot of Republicans.
And that's an equalizer.
Yeah.
So it's no longer, it's like I'm running against this young kid or a woman. He can't make that argument again. And Joe Biden, regardless of what party you're from, people respect him. People say, hey, he's a nice guy. Trump tried to dig up dirt. He tried to throw everything at him, but it didn't stick.
It didn't stick. And I have to say, I'm just so thankful and relieved. I will say I'm not going to put anything past Trump. I'm not breathing a full sigh of relief.
Oh, it's going to be a wild 2 months.
I think the next 2 months are going to be insane. And he's a little too quiet for me right now.
I feel the same.
Do you feel like
yes.
that? Like he's too quiet.
What's he up
quiet.
To? Well, listen, fireworks were going off in London. The bells went off in Paris. The entire world rejoiced. It felt like the end of a war. World War II, to be specific.
Absolutely.
And it says a lot about where we are.
Yeah, take a listen to some of the audio of the celebrations this weekend.
Come on.
The gays.
That sounds like WeHo.
Oh, yeah. Or Times Square.
Yep.
I mean, people were standing, yes, singing goodbye to Donald Trump this weekend.
Well,
we were a choir.
I think so much of it is that this question of, are we facing a silent majority or a vocal minority? That's the question going into the election, meaning all these Trump supporters and rallies and flags you see everywhere that seem overwhelming, were they actually just a silent or a vocal minority? Turns out the silent majority was kind-hearted Democrats, Republicans, independents, people who never voted before who said, okay, where we're going is not okay.
Yeah.
So we need to change
it. Yeah. And, you know, I know a lot of people were still concerned and should be concerned about COVID. That has not gone away. We saw a lot of people gathering, a lot of people with masks, without masks. But I think that has to show you the relief that this has brought people. I mean, we haven't been outside of our homes in 8 months. We've been dealing with Trump for 8 months. We've been having to figure out if we're going to be able to have children, if I need to, like, rework my reproductive system.
Do I need to go get married? Right now.
Yeah. I mean, do Black Lives Matter? It's been a lot. And so I think people are just genuinely relieved.
Yeah, we have a lot to digest. We're going to break it down all day today. We've got Samuel Garrett Pate. We have Ryan Basham actually on the show today from Stonewall Democrats here to talk about the election and what it means for America moving forward for our segment Red, White, and Q. Also, LaToya Holman from the HRC Human Rights Campaign in Nevada, your home state.
Yeah.
First state to constitutionally protect gay marriage.
Huge
deal. She's joining us as well today. So we have a great show ahead for you, so stick around for all of that.
Absolutely. Well, let's get into a little weather. It was cold this weekend for me
in
Vegas.
It's cold today. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
it was.
And in L.A. Well, it's 59 in New York today. It's going to be a high of 64 in L.A., a high of 57 in Vegas, 66 in Palm Springs, and a high of 82
You just said
Houston.
A high of 64 in L.A., and half of the country just moaned. They screamed at you.
I know.
It's like, it's going to be so
Listen,
cold, 64.
I have my coat with me. That's cold
I'm wearing
for
a sweater and a coat today.
I know. It's cold.
Very L.A.
All right. You guys, well, coming up
is AJ's vibe of the day that I've been waiting to give this whole weekend, Michaela Gordon.
Okay, go.
Every failure is a lesson. If you are not willing to fail, you're not ready to succeed. Did we learn our lesson? We'll see.
I think that's such a good vibe for today. All right, well, coming up in What Did I Miss? Roger Montoya was shamed by the GOP for past porn. Did he win? And a new candle has been released with a 2020 scent called Flaming Crap. We have all those details coming up in 2 minutes.
So what did I miss?
What did I miss?
I love this segment. It's Monday morning. Just in case you happen to hide under a rock all weekend just to avoid all the news. If you didn't know, Joe Biden is the next president of the United States. Kamala Harris is our next vice president. But there were more things that happened this weekend that you may have missed.
Like what?
Well, okay, so Roger Montoya. Remember we talked about him a few weeks ago? He was running in the state of New Mexico. He was being shamed by the GOP for a gay porn past. Now, he's a Democrat. He pledged to build bridges following the anti-gay smear campaign against him. So he was triumphed in his race. He was running for the House District 40 seat, besting Republican opponent Justin Salazar. He won. Not only did he win, he won by 14 points.
Come through.
Come on, replacing incumbent Democrat Joseph Sanchez. So it's a very Democratic seat anyways. But the smear campaign did not work.
I love that because I want, in 2020, I want to be represented and I want diversity. And that also includes people's past stories, what they've overcome, how they can relate to the people of their city, their state. I mean, so what?
Well, it's like the idea of making decisions on a woman's, you know, ovaries being made by 100 male senators or whatever. It's
weird.
You need people that represent who you are and what you... We have audio of him, actually. Let's listen.
I found out that I was HIV positive in 1986 in New York City, where I was living, watching my friends die with the AIDS pandemic. My soul was really aching with such loss and grief. Coming home with my family, my art really set the tone for me to begin to heal.
Come on, Roger Montoya.
I love that.
Or I should say Congressman Roger Montoya.
Hey. Well, congratulations, Roger Montoya. You deserve that. Now, what we all deserve are candles.
Justin, what are you saying to me right now?
State congressman.
State congressman. Well, he's still a congressman.
True.
Calm down, Justin. Do not diminish him right now.
It's a Monday.
Turn your mic back off.
Get out of here.
Well done, New Mexico.
Well done, New Mexico. All right, well, yesterday I went to Big Lots because that's who I am as a human being. And I went to look for candles.
Okay.
What I did not find was the new 2020 scent candle.
Oh, I see what you did there. That was a transition.
Well done. Thank you, go on me. Now, there's a new 2020 scent candle. It's called Flaming Crap. It's it's a novelty candle company based in England, and they've launched 2020 scent, and it is hilarious. It starts off, it gives aromas of banana bread, which was a big thing in like March and April.
Oh, yeah.
Then it goes into like a hand sanitizer with woody musks.
No.
And then finally, budget aftershave and earthy essence with the last few intended to invoke memories of Tiger King Joe Exotic himself.
Wait. Where's the layer of Cheez-It? I know I talk about this a lot, but
I feel like people did not understand the love of Cheez-Its.
Does nobody
the way
relate
did.
To this? I just ate Cheez-Its for a whole like 3 months at the beginning of this
thing. I just ate a whole bag of Cheez-Its yesterday on my drive back from Vegas to LA, and I was like, are we back in March?
I love that it's a bag inside of a box, but you said, oh, did you get a small bag?
No, I got the big bag from 7-Eleven, you know, when you can go. Now they come in the bags, not the boxes.
They're literally called Big Bag.
Yeah,
wow.
And I ate it all.
It's amazing.
Every single one. So that's good. Your 2020 scented candle.
Well, there you have it. And then one really quickly before I let you go, an elected official apologizes for using Cardi B's WAP to promote, ready for this, weatherization assistance program.
That's amazing.
In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, they had to apologize for this. Ryan Clancy is the supervisor. He said on Facebook, that one landed badly. He didn't really quite understand the full meaning of it and how people would receive that.
Yeah, get a bucket and a mop. Aren't the lyrics you think that they would be? So maybe you could have had somebody look that up for
you. Think
for
somebody's just cleaning their kitchen, but
yeah,
it's much more to it.
It's not just about Clorox.
I'll tell you, it is a filthy, filthy, filthy song.
It's
and
filthy.
I love every moment of it.
Oh, I love it. I love when people who don't know the words try to like get into it. It's terrible.
It's like my little teenage sister used to sing S&M by Rihanna.
Oh,
my mom loved it.
Oh,
what's up, Justin?
Hey, did you guys see the video online of people outside the White House singing WAP?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
On Saturday, it was hilarious.
That's incredible.
Look it up. We can't post it because for obvious reasons.
Well, I saw a meme going around this weekend about WAP taking back the White House, Wisconsin, Arizona, Pennsylvania.
I love that.
Yeah, that was funny, too.
Well, listen, it was an amazing weekend. It was a huge weekend. So it's a perfect time for us to do our checking in segment. Just kind of checking in to see how we're doing.
I'm fine. I'm great.
I also, I read a phenomenal book this week. That I'd also like to talk about.
Nah.
And we will, coming up next.
We are the new Channel Q.
Yes,
we're so excited to be here with you. Thank you so much for hanging out. It's just a wild Monday.
It's been a wild Monday. And I think that, you know, listen, I don't know where your emotions are at.
All over the place.
Everywhere. I think we went in just a matter of a couple of weeks to thinking Trump could take this, but hoping not. All of a sudden, it's a Saturday. We wake up. I woke up to a text that said, it's over.
Who sent you that?
My bestie.
Oh, so are we checking in right now? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I think we should do a little checking in.
Yeah, I remember I woke up Saturday and we were laying in bed. I was actually awake, but my partner Emil and I were lying in bed just kind of playing games on our phone or whatever we were doing. I don't know what was going on. And we started hearing cars honking and people cheering. And then it continued and it got louder and louder. And I was like, wait, what's happening right now? And then I was like, I think they called it. They turned on CNN really quickly, and there it was. And it was the beginning of a long day of just emotional releases.
It was a lot of emotional releases.
Take a listen.
CNN projects Joseph R. Biden Jr. is elected the 46th president of the United States, winning the White House and denying President Trump a second term.
Two thoughts. First and foremost, how many people feel such anxiety every time they hear that doom, 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 doom from CNN?
Yeah.
We have a projection or a key race update, and it's constantly the same thing over and over again for days at a time.
Yeah.
It's mind-numbing, and it's the exact same sound they've used for years on CNN. So if you watch CNN like me, it's stressful, but this time it turned out to be good. Secondly, did you hear what they called him? President-elect Joseph R. Biden. Remember last week I called him Joseph Biden?
Joseph,
and you laughed
screaming.
So hard at me.
Oh my God, I was laughing so hard. Well, I have to tell you, it was an extreme weekend for me. I was driving back to Vegas, obviously to do Melania and Trump skits with our very own John DiDomenico. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what we were going to do, but we've just been having a good time because we were figuring they'll be out soon and we just enjoyed it. Listen, I'm all about laughter. It's all I can do. On my way to Vegas, I started reading Flipping the Script by AJ Gasson.
Who?
And AJ Gasson. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Is he French?
He's a star. So I would say that I was already in a very emotional state. If you have not got Flipping the Script, this is not a promotion. I'm not like trying to have you go buy something. The book is incredible. I feel so incredibly close to you. I love you. So I was already like in my feels. Mm. We get to Vegas. Lisa's mom voted for Trump, so she is Fox News on. And to have like CNN in one room and Fox on the other, and I'm not like the political guru I would like to be, mm-hmm. that is a lot for me.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, CNN really, you know, they lean left. For sure. We see where they're, especially with the Donald Trump in office and Van Jones. Maybe we can get that audio later on. We can play that one
up. Oh, my God. Van Jones is so emotional.
Maybe when Ryan Basham comes on later, Justin, we can play that audio because Van Jones' response. You have it right now? You're incredible. Let's play it.
I can't breathe. You know, that wasn't just George Floyd. That was a lot of people that felt that they couldn't breathe. Every day you're waking up and you're getting these tweets and you just don't know. And you're going to the store and people who have been afraid to show their racism are getting nastier and nastier to you, and you're worried about your kids, and you're worried about your sister. And can she just go to Walmart and get back into her car without somebody saying something to her? And you spent so much of your life energy just trying to hold it together. And this is a big deal for us just to be able to get some peace.
America took a collective deep breath this weekend, and it feels so good.
I think the world took a deep breath. Well, that's our checking in segment coming up in What's Poppin', brought to you by California Psychics. A lot of people were partying in the USA, including Queen Miley Cyrus. Find out how. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
You know, Michaela Gordon, we've had a fantastic month or so leading up to this election. Obviously, we talk about politics here on the show from time to time, a little bit more so recently. And if you've missed any of those conversations or any of our celebrity interviews, because guess what? We are a morning show. We do a lot of really fun stories
here
on the Morning Beat as well, even though the last few weeks felt a little bit traumatic for us. Things turned out in the end. Download the radio.com app, listen to the Morning Beat as a podcast, because we get turned into a podcast every day right after we go off the air.
Yeah.
Our producer, Justin, works very hard to make sure that happens for you, our listeners. So catch up on any old episodes. If you're new to the program, thanks for joining us. Now we're doing a segment called What's Poppin'.
Hey.
And what's poppin' right now is democracy, y'all. What's poppin', Michaela?
Yes, it is, honey. Well, this is What's Poppin', brought to you by California Psychics. If you want to know your future, you can talk to California Psychics. Just head on over to CaliforniaPsychics.com, but a psychic wouldn't have to be the one to predict that this weekend was absolutely a party in the USA.
That's right.
You could have just heard it from the streets of West Hollywood to Times Square. Miley Cyrus even took to Twitter on Saturday, sharing her excitement over Joe Biden's victory. She said, "Now this is a party in the USA." You can hear the audio of the iconic 2009 party jam alongside a video that included President-elect Joe Biden making a speech, Vice President elect Kamala Harris dancing, and Donald Trump being escorted away from a podium. And she wasn't the only one. There's audio of people screaming, "There's a party in the USA." I mean, it's obvious to say that people are so relieved. They feel like for the first time in 4 years, they're allowed to be free and gay and themselves and authentic.
And celebrated for it.
Absolutely. So I think it was so incredible.
John Legend, Chrissy Teigen were leading a parade through West Hollywood this weekend, hanging out the roof of their car, the sunroof. I mean, it was just a while. I woke up, or I didn't wake up to, but I found out because of all the horns and the cheering throughout Los Angeles. It was that loud.
It was crazy.
That's how I found out the projection had been made by CNN.
It was amazing. Mm. All right, you guys. Well, this was brought to you. My What's Poppin' is brought to you by California Psychics. You know I love California Psychics. If you want to know your future, talk to a California Psychics. They thoroughly test their psychics to make sure they have real gifts. Take the California Psychics Challenge. If it's not the best you've ever had, it's free. From my experience, it was the best I ever had, honey. So visit CaliforniaPsychics.com or download the app. That's California Psychics. Now, coming up in our next hour, with the big news of Biden being projected to win the 2020 presidential election, Ryan Basham from Stonewall Dems joins us to discuss what we have to look forward to and the work that still needs to be done. We're back in 2 minutes.
The Fox News Decision Desk can now project that former Vice President Joe Biden will win Pennsylvania and Nevada, putting him over the 270 electoral votes he needs to become the 46th president of the United States.
Your home state of Nevada sharing the spotlight. That's not something they do very often there in Nevada, especially if you're from the Las Vegas area. You
no,
like all
not.
The shine on yourselves, but you couldn't get the votes counted fast enough. You also didn't have enough electoral votes to put them over the top by yourself. So, like, you called up Pennsylvania. You're like, listen. We have an opportunity here right now. We will ride your coattails. Just please let us. We just need a little more time to count
these
votes.
Listen to me. The memes that came out of Nevada for Nevada.
The craziest thing is that deals with much money on a daily basis.
That's
they
what's
literally,
blowing people
it's
away.
Literally their numbers crunching city, like
yeah,
Las
how
Vegas.
How are you not getting it right? I went to
Justin.
This...
I know you're here dying to say something right now. What are you trying to say?
No, I'm not saying anything.
You're over there just grinning right now
because it's the ridiculousness
just, it's wild to
of
me.
It. Well, I went to a gay club on Saturday after it was announced that Joe Biden
Piranhas?
Was the president elect.
New
a new one called The Garden. It's so fun.
You told me about this spot.
It's amazing. I'm taking you to this spot. I went as Melania. They said, hey, would you just do something funny and be Melania? Do whatever you want to do. I said, yeah, of course. So I went. I gave a thank you speech, taking all the credit for saving America.
Wearing your Still Don't Care jacket.
Still don't care. Mm-hmm. And then I led us into the YMCA where the gay bar proceeded to do the YMCA.
Makes sense.
But in part of my joke, I said I had to come to Nevada because for a state, particularly Vegas, a city that deals with numbers and blackjack and all of the things, how'd you get it wrong? And the crowd started roaring because everyone is so confused.
You have one.
How,
you literally have one
it's
job,
just
Nevada.
One job.
Reno, Las Vegas, all of it.
Could it be like, that they only count to 21?
You know, they stop.
Oh, true.
Every time they get to 21, they just stop.
Yep. They're like, hit.
We're good
they
for the day.
Yeah. Oh,
we count
good.
21 votes a day.
Yeah, we're fine. No, that's enough. Thank you so much.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it was a mess, but it was such a big weekend.
Well, Nevada's a star, and so are you, Michaela Gordon, approaching 60,000 followers on TikTok.
Oh.
Michaela is on a video as Melania right now that has 40 million views on TikTok. 40 million in a week.
And I gotta tell you, this is how stupid TikTok is.
0 million.
But
it's the dumbest video I've ever seen.
It's the dumbest video
I've
ever seen.
It's so simple.
And it's not even like dumb like we like. Like it's actually just dumb. And this oh my
and you're
God.
Famous.
TikTok is wild. Listen, I'm just preparing myself for the script that you're writing for me for the show that we win an Emmy for. Did I say that? Whatever.
I'm ready to pivot. I'm ready to work on it. I'm finally
the
inspired
time is now.
Again. Yes, it's
why I'm your muse.
It is interesting how much of a release this weekend was for so many people. And creatively, I felt stagnant for a while. And I have so many ideas right now. You just shared a couple of really incredible ideas that you're working on as Melania with our Donald Trump for life after the White House that I cannot wait for.
You know, I think it's like people feel like they can finally start to laugh again, mm-hmm. start to create again, start to enjoy things again.
Listen to the news again without freaking out. Do we have any of that today?
God, we
should
do.
We do news on the beat this hour?
Yeah, fine. There's big news actually out right now. Drug maker Pfizer said Monday, this morning actually, an early look at data from its coronavirus vaccine shows it is more than 90% effective, a much better than expected efficacy.
Efficacy?
Probably. That's a word. That's, yeah,
is that what you're reading?
Word. Yeah. I was like, is it efficient?
I love playing. Guess what Michaela's trying to
I
read
love
right
it
now?
Too. I love to think that they did a spelling error. And I'm like, come on, guys.
Morons.
Losers.
Well, Dr. Anthony Fauci has said if we got to 60 to 70%, he'd be comfortable with that number. And right now, it looks like it's at around 90, so that's big.
Yeah. Well, the so-called analysis looked at the first 94 confirmed cases of COVID-19 among the more than 43,000 volunteers who got either two doses of the vaccine or a placebo. It found that fewer than 10% of infections were in participants who had been given the vaccine. More than 90% of the cases were in people who had been given a placebo. Now, Pfizer said that the vaccine provided protection 7 days after the second dose and 28 days after the initial dose of the vaccine. In a news release, the pharmaceutical giant said it plans to seek emergency use authorization from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration soon after volunteers have been monitored for 2 months after getting their second dose of vaccine as requested by the FDA.
Well, that's exciting news. We've got Dr. James Simmons. He'll be joining us tomorrow to just break down what this all means, what sort of timeline we're looking at, when we can expect to actually see this go from trials to, you know, application in the real world.
I'm not going to lie, though. I'm not ready for the vaccine yet. I don't want to be one of the first.
I'm not either. 90% makes me feel a little more comfortable. Also, I don't want to accept a vaccine that is approved while Trump is still in office, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Like, I just don't trust it just yet. And I know that Joseph R. Biden, President-elect Biden, has already put together a pandemic response team that he's announcing today. Is it today?
Yeah, they just announced it.
They just announced it this morning. So that's exciting for me. Hopefully Anthony Fauci has a bigger role moving forward than he has in recent weeks. So
totally.
We'll see.
All right, you guys. Well, let's get into a little weather. It's a high of 73 in Kansas City, 82 in Miami, a high of 59 in San Francisco, and 63 in Phoenix. So it's going to be cold in Phoenix. Now give us a vibe of the day.
Every failure is a lesson. If you are not willing to fail, you are not ready to succeed. Listen, honey, for many of us, it feels like we failed for 4 years and we are ready to succeed now.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
All right, you guys, we're coming up with the big news of Biden being projected to win the 2020 presidential election. Ryan Basham from Stonewall Dems joins us next to discuss. We're back in 2 minutes.
I sought this office to restore the soul of America, to rebuild the backbone of this nation, the middle class, and to make America respected around the world again.
Ooh, make America respected again. Joseph R. Biden Jr., President-elect of the United States of America. What a weekend. Here to help us just celebrate this moment in history. From the VP of Communications for Stonewall Dems, we've got Ryan Basham on the line for Red, White, and Q. Ryan, how you feeling?
Hi, Ryan.
You guys are going to make me cry again.
I have to say been everybody's sentiment.
The emotional release.
Crying.
Yeah.
How did you feel waking up Saturday morning? Because listen, you're so involved. You've put your whole life into this and into politics. How'd you feel?
You know, at the beginning of this year, I reached out to the director of LGBTQ Vote for Biden's campaign, and I said, look, I'm willing to put my life on hold to make this happen. So if you can use me, use me. And so, like, this whole year, I've been busting my butt for the campaign, and, to see it actually finally happen, I mean, and to see a black woman is about to be the vice president, all those things just came, you know, it came rushing over me, and I mean, I was in a bar surrounded by strangers because walking around in New York. I had to find a bar where they were going to show the speech, and I was in there just crying, you know, with almost nobody there that I knew. And then I woke up the next day, you know, feeling like, oh my God, what do I have to be stressed out about now?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I love that you bring up VP-elect Kamala Harris here from the great state of California, because during her acceptance speech, or during her victory speech, I guess you could say, which doesn't always happen, by the way. If you pay attention, the VP doesn't generally get up there and give a big speech like that. It's usually the president-elect's moment, but he realized how big of a deal this was.
She made history.
Yes.
Not only as a woman, but as a woman of color. I have to tell you, the women on my timeline and even the men kept posting photos of their little girls watching Kamala on television.
Well, let's listen to Kamala talk. She said, listen, I may be the first, but I will not be the last.
But while I may be the first woman in this office, I will not be the last.
There, in her words, I mean, she just literally said, but it shows you the importance and the magnitude of that statement that has become ingrained now in our memory.
Well, she also talks a lot about hope. Let's take a listen to the end of her speech, and then, Ryan, we want to hear from you.
You chose hope and unity, decency, science, and yes, truth. You chose Joe Biden as the next president of the United States.
I have goosebumps.
Ryan, just speak freely.
You know, that was the moment that was the most direct kind of jab at the leadership that we've seen for the last 4 years, because, you know, she talked about the things that we know we wanted to see in our leadership, but then she said, and yes, truth. And what she meant by that was someone who's, you know, you're going to be led by people who are actually honest with you and actually honest with themselves. And that's such a departure from what we've lived through for the past 4 years. The other thing that was kind of a jab was when Biden said, let this grim era of demonization begin to end here and now. So they didn't call him out by name. They weren't even that direct about it. But their message was clear. We're going to live in an America now where we're honest with each other and we treat each other with respect.
Well, Joe,
and that's new.
Yeah, it is new. Well, it's like the new.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? Because it was who we were for so long. But then also, we had to go through some growing pains as a nation, and we still have so many more to go through. But this feels like a step in the right direction. Biden talks about President-elect Biden talks about the need for a coalition moving forward, how to find bipartisanship. Let's let him put it in his own words.
And all those who supported us, I'm proud of the campaign we built and ran. I'm proud of the coalition we put together, the broadest and most diverse coalition in history. Democrats, Republicans, independents, progressives, moderates, conservatives, young, old, urban, suburban, rural, gay, straight, transgender, white, Latino, Asian, Native American.
And here's what stands out to me, Ryan, is that how easily words that used to be controversial for politicians just rolled off his tongue. There was no stumble. Gay, straight, transgender, move on. I think there's so much power in that. But there are some gray areas and some within the Democratic Party right now, and that coalition he talks about, and that will need to continue to grow and evolve if he wants to win re-election in 4 years, if he decides to run again. What are your thoughts on what it's going to take for the Democratic Party to now move forward and govern?
Joe's always had a reputation for working across the aisle, for bringing together consensus, like not just saying that he's going to meet everybody in the middle, but really actually making it happen. I wouldn't be surprised if he appoints some Republicans to his cabinet. It stuck out to me that I think this is the first victory speech where transgender folks are named or mentioned specifically, by the way. And so, I think what it's going to take is not only is Joe going to do what he does best, which is bring people who disagree together and get them to work together. It's also going to take all of us staying engaged in the civic process, not just in the two Senate runoff elections in January in Georgia, but, going forward, my hope is that everyday Americans stay engaged with their members of Congress, stay engaged with the political process, because the more engaged we are, the more impact we have. And that sets Joe Biden and Kamala Harris up to win, because then they can better reflect the will of the people.
Talk about it next.
It's very important that we continue communicating within our own cities. But there is somebody that we really also want to talk about who's really making a huge difference. Stacey Abrams, kind of like the icon of this election. We want to hear your thoughts and the importance of her as well. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Who was it called by? Oh, my goodness. All the networks. Wow. All the networks thought Biden was going to win by 10%. Gee, what happened? Come on. Don't be ridiculous. Networks don't get to decide elections. Courts do.
Wow. Rudy Giuliani. This is what everybody's talking about over the weekend. Everybody's talking about VP-elect Kamala Harris making history, and obviously Joe Biden becoming our next president. But also, the fact that in the most 2020 news, you can't write this stuff, that the lawyers for Donald Trump, the president of the United States, and Trump announced this on his Twitter from the golf course, were planning on holding a press conference to let America know that Trump was still in this thing and he was still fighting at the Four Seasons in Philadelphia, at the center of the political universe.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're joined by Ryan Basham, the VP of Communications for the Stonewall Dems. We're going to get his take on this right now. He's listening, just probably biting his tongue. So then another tweet comes out. Turns out it's not the Four Seasons. They accidentally booked Four Seasons Landscaping, which is across the street from a crematorium and next to a sex shop. And they had this press conference, I kid you not, in the back parking lot, and they stuck a whole bunch of Trump signs up on a garage door and just went with it. How on earth does that happen?
I mean, here's the thing. In any normal campaign, somebody's job is to go in advance and scout the location before they book it. Somebody's job is to do it. So somebody, either that didn't happen or somebody went there and looked around and said, yeah, this is fine. This will work.
I feel like it was a situation. I feel like this is how Trump and Giuliani would work. They see that it's wrong. They see somebody didn't get the memo, but they're like, you know what? No. Go with it. Keep it going.
We're real Americans.
Yeah, no, you know what? Show them we're real people. We're relatable. We make mistakes, or do we? I mean, it's like so out of control that it's in between a porn place and a crematory.
I mean, you have to imagine, like, I mean, it's like this is just the latest in a long, long string of events where it's obvious that somebody thought, oh, yeah, this is a good idea. We're going to show people X. And in this case, maybe it's we're real people. But what it ends up being is a joke that anyone else would have seen coming. How can they be that incompetent?
It seems like an episode of Veep. It really seems yes. like Selena Meyer was like, just go with it. But it actually happened in real life, and it couldn't be more fitting. It just feels like there are so many jokes to be made about this scenario. It brings me so much joy.
Well, also, I would like to play that happened this weekend as well. Another Trump supporter, he's a pastor. I'm going to be honest. I'm giving you a trigger warning because this...
For all of our listeners, this is actually a little bit triggering.
A little creepy. But here was a pastor over the weekend speaking to his congregation in regards to Trump.
The media said what? The media said Joe Biden's president. Ha 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 ha.
Okay, it goes on for a while. This is Kenneth Copeland. He is the lead pastor at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. That's nice to name it after yourself in Fort Worth, Texas. But speaking to the evangelical right in a way that's so just
jarring, terrifying,
he seems
freaky,
insane.
Satanic.
Why does this work for Trump's followers?
You know, the evangelical right always does this thing where, like, anytime a Republican is elected, it's God's divine intervention, and every time a Democrat is elected, it's something else. I don't know. I guess demons did it. It's weird, but somehow, even after everything, evangelical conservatives still believe that Trump is, like, God's ordained messenger and deliverer of justice and glory and holiness. And it's like, you guys know that every subsequent wife he's had, he first was cheating on his previous wife with them, right? Like, you know he's not a good person, right? Yeah. But I guess they don't.
And also, President-elect Joe Biden at church yesterday with his family, then went out to the cemetery where much of his family is buried in Delaware. I mean, he is actually a man of God,
yeah.
Genuinely. Ugh.
Well, I want to talk about something in the better part of the news. Great news, incredible news. Stacey Abrams just was a rock star during this election. She had over 1 million people register to vote. Why is it important to continue supporting Stacey Abrams? And what difference did she really make?
Yeah, and so many others like her. She's the name, but there's so many.
Yeah.
There are a ton like her, but I will say I think Stacey sticks out for, you know, there are a lot of things we thought would happen that didn't in this election, but everything Stacey Abrams said would happen did. You know, we flipped Georgia, we took two Republican Senate seats in Georgia to a place where it's possible that in the runoff in January they'll be held by Democrats, and Stacey Abrams led that fight, and she's going to continue to lead that fight. I'm just like, I don't know which cabinet position is the best one for her, but man, the world should be her oyster. She should be able to write her own check. And we should all follow in her footsteps. She is the new gold standard for political organizing, in my opinion.
Real quickly,
absolutely.
Before we let you go, I want to know your thoughts on those two runoffs in Georgia. How realistic is it that we can take both those seats?
It's 100% realistic as long as we pour ourselves into those two races like we have this year for president.
I just can't imagine Kamala Harris walking down to the Senate every single time there's a 50-50 vote, if that happens, and casting the deciding vote. I mean, if there is anything
also,
more poetic.
Just, I want to say also, she is so attractive that.
Oh, she's hot.
I mean, literally, that's it. I have nothing else to say. I just want to say she is attractive. That's it. That's
all. For my perspective, she's hot like Sarah Palin, but also with like empathy and intelligence.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to say
it. And from my perspective, she is Bette Porter from The L Word, and every lesbian in the world has united around Kamala Harris, and I just want her to know that. Kamala, I love you. Okay, thank you so much, Ryan Basham. Ryan Basham, we appreciate you so much. Thank you as always for joining us. Really, in all seriousness, what a great weekend. Now, coming up, Eva Longoria is not having a great weekend, and she's apologizing to black women, but is the apology even necessary? We'll have that coming up in What's Poppin'.
Coming up in our next hour, we've got Dr. James Simmons joining the Morning Beat, talking about this this report coming out that Pfizer has a vaccine for COVID-19 that could be 90% effective. What does that mean? What sort of timeline are we looking at? He's joining us in the next hour to break it all down for us. Now it's time for What's Poppin', brought to you by California Psychics, Michaela Gordon, Eva Longoria in some hot water.
Okay, so I saw this story yesterday. Now, Eva Longoria did an interview over the weekend that seemed harmless. She was really standing up for the Latino women who haven't really gotten a lot of shine. Take a listen to her interview initially.
The women of color showed up in big ways. Of course, you saw in Georgia what black women have done, but the Latina women were the real heroines here, beating men in turnout in every state and voting for Biden Harris at an average rate close to 3-1. And that wasn't surprising to us. You know, Latinos are the CEOs of the households. They make all the financial decisions and healthcare decisions and educational decisions. Many Latinas are small business owners and they wanted a plan for recovery for themselves, not for Wall Street. And so Trump's policies were never aimed at the struggling Latina.
So it sounds harmless, right? It sounds like she's just really standing up for the Latin community, which she's a part of. But a lot of black men and women felt slighted, and they felt like, you know, one of the media outlets posted on Instagram yesterday, wow, way to really crap on black women. Eva Longoria. So she has now come out with a statement and she's apologizing. And she said, I'm so sorry and sad to hear that my comments on MSNBC could be perceived as taking credit from black women. When I said that Latinas were heroines in this election, I simply meant that they turned out in greater numbers and voted more progressively than Latino men. My wording was not clear and I deeply regret that there is such a history in our community of anti-blackness in our community, and I would never want to contribute to that. So let me be very clear. Black women have been the backbone of the Democratic Party, something we have seen played out in this election as well as previous ones. Finally, black women don't have to do it alone any longer. Latinas, indigenous women, AAPI women, and other women of color are standing with them so we can grow our collective voice and power.
Well, I think this is really interesting. If you look back at the Democratic National Convention, when they announced, you know, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they came together and they officially accepted the nomination. Night one was hosted by who? Eva Longoria. Two of the other nights hosted by Tracy Ellis Ross and Kerry Washington.
Yeah.
It's very, very clear to anybody paying attention where the Democratic Party lies. It's with women of color, in particular black women. So I get that she maybe got in hot water. I didn't take it that way. But it's
honest,
also can be triggering if you are a black woman to hear a Latina woman say that, maybe.
You know, I'm not a black woman, so I'm not going to take that space. I am a woman, mm-hmm. and I feel like I think that we need to start learning that two things can live in the same place.
Yes.
I think we can say we appreciate and love Latin women and that not be a diss to black women,
mm-hmm.
Or to be putting them down, because Latin women did show up.
Well, and also, you also.
And they deserve to be praised.
It's such a complex conversation, to be fair. Cuban women are very different from Puerto Rican women, are very different from Mexican women, based on what region of the country you're in. So it is a very complex issue. I don't think anybody's trying to take credit away from black women, though. They are the story
Longoria.
Of 2020.
And yeah, no way. Eva Longoria.
Yep.
But I appreciate what she said. All right, well, coming up in our next hour, we are joined with Dr. James Simmons as he discusses a new vaccine that Pfizer is possibly putting out. Also, we're talking to a woman in Vegas. She's a business owner and entertainer, and we are discussing how it is trying to continue a career in the middle of this pandemic and any hope with Biden and Harris being elected. Coming up next.
Coming up in about 15 minutes from right now, we've got Dr. James Simmons joining us to talk about this this story that just came out from Pfizer, saying that this major pharmaceutical company is seeing 90% success rate
with
their testing for a COVID-19 vaccine. What does that mean for us, the average Americans? How quickly could we see that go into distribution? How close are we to it being approved? Hopefully Dr. James has some answers for us right now, because I'm going to tell y'all, I'm not a doctor. Michaela, I don't think you're a doctor.
I've watched a lot of documentaries, and I feel very capable.
Well,
listen, if Trump can do it, I can.
Well, he can't do it. That's the point.
Not anymore.
That's the point. I watch Grey's Anatomy. I'm not about to try to give my expert opinion because I don't have one, which is why Dr. James Simmons joins us in 15 minutes. So make sure you stick around for that conversation. But first, Joe Biden. He's going to hit the ground running. Michaela Gordon, what's going on in News on the Beat?
All right, people. Joe Biden already has big plans for his first day in office. The Democratic president-elect plans to issue a series of executive orders to undo many of the policies that Donald Trump put into place. His transition team has outlined COVID-19, economic recovery, racial equity, and climate change as priorities. Biden's first focus is likely to be the pandemic, with his team just announcing the people who will make up his coronavirus advisory board. He has also previously said he would rejoin the Paris Climate Accord and the World Health Organization on his first day. But despite Biden's promises of a bold agenda, Democrats worry that his administration will only be able to go as far as Republican Senate Leader Mitch McConnell lets him.
Well, I believe he is going to be a lot more willing to use executive orders than he would have been. And we'll still see what happens in Georgia with the two runoffs down there. But I'm reading over the weekend that he could use executive orders to sign the Equality Act into law. And then also that within his first 100 days, he could use an executive order to erase up to $50,000 of federal student debt from those who are still paying off college loans, which is he's being pushed by, you know, Chuck Schumer, the Senate minority leader right now, to make happen. That would be a big deal to me and to millions of Americans. I still have $47,000 in student loan debt from the federal government. So, and I've been paying that off for forever, it feels like. So big, big changes, direct impact could happen very quickly. And those are bipartisan things. You know what I mean? There are Republicans and Democrats who are in debt from student loans.
Absolutely.
Republicans and Democrats who are members of the LGBTQ plus community. So I think those could be big wins for him.
Yeah. All right. Well, in other news, Donald Trump still has not publicly accepted that he lost the 2020 presidential election, and Republicans and his inner circle are divided on how to proceed. His son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and First Lady Melania Trump are advising him to come to terms with Biden's victory. Sources tell CNN, but his two adult sons, Donald Jr. and Eric, are urging allies to press on with the fight. With no proof of its claims, Trump's campaign is planning a messaging blitz and pushing legal challenges designed to cast doubt on the results and delay their certification. The campaign had lawyers, including Rudy Giuliani, meet with the press this Saturday to say that the media doesn't decide the election. Courts do?
What was it called by? Oh my goodness, all the networks. Wow! All the networks thought Biden was going to win by 10%. Gee, what happened?
Well, Don't be
ridiculous. Networks don't get to decide elections.
What?
Courts do.
That's also not true. What happened to Rudy Giuliani? Remember he used to be America's mayor? Like, we
People
trusted him so
Rudy
much
Giuliani.
After 9/11.
His own daughter doesn't trust him.
At
his
all.
Own daughter voted for Biden, so that should tell you something.
It's just a fall from grace. What, Justin?
If you guys ask New Yorkers, like, they've known Rudy has been crazy for years.
Yeah.
Apparently, well, Trump, too, because you should have seen Times Square this weekend. It was wild. People were celebrating in such a huge way, knowing that that Joe Biden was
which
the president-elect.
Which is why he will retire to Mar-a-Lago in Florida. He's not going back to New York City.
No. I can't imagine.
Him.
And listen, word on the street is I better have fun with Melania while I can, because come January 2021, she's peacing out.
The 21st, January 21st, rumor has it that her prenup expires the day after he leaves office.
1/21/21 is the day that she can leave him. That's a special day. We should celebrate for her.
We should have a countdown.
We should have a party. We should have a countdown and a party.
Melania leaves on a U-Haul.
We're making it
They're
happen.
They're both going to leave on a U-Haul.
What do you get Melania for a moving out gift?
What?
What do you get her? What?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
I thought it was a joke. I don't know. What?
I would say maybe a pool boy or somebody like her age.
Oh, she's been. There's another rumor out there that she's got
her a boyfriend.
Man, honey.
She's hot. I mean, she's gorgeous.
Listen to me. I love playing Melania because I do think she's beautiful no matter what you say. But I feel like we're going to see a different side of her when this is over.
But I just, I'm sure this is all in her prenup and she'll never ever be able to speak freely. But I just want to read that book. Like, oh, I want to know what it was really actually like, because she can't stand him. She swats at his hand more often than you swatted a fly in George in the middle of summer. I mean,
can't
stand the guy.
It's true. All right, you guys, well, let's do a little weather. It's going to be a high of 75 in New York, a high of 64 in L.A., 57 in Vegas, a high of 66 in Palm Springs, and 81 in Houston. Ooh, that's nice. Now, give us a vibe of the day.
Every failure is a lesson. If you are not willing to fail, you are not ready to succeed.
Absolutely. I love that. It's harder than it sounds, but it's so worth it when you do. All right, well, coming up, Dr. James Simmons joins us on the Pfizer vaccine. Is this the beginning of the end of the pandemic? It's starting to look up. We've got the answers. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. You know, obviously, we've been talking a lot about, you know, President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. That feels so good to say.
We love
about time
to
we got
say
some
it.
Women in power. And I know our next guest definitely has some thoughts. But there's another big story coming out this morning that Pfizer, they're releasing results that their COVID-19 vaccine could be 90% effective. Here to help us break it all down, Dr. James Simmons. I do feel, though, that before we get into Pfizer, you have to share some thoughts on how you're feeling as a queer black man in America today.
Well, I was motivated enough to post a video of me bawling my eyes out on Saturday while at work trying to take care of patients.
Yeah, I commented.
You did. Thank you. And, pretty monumental moment in general for folks, in Indian folks, Southeast Asian individuals, black people, women, kiddos of immigrants in general. I mean, I just think that Kamala represents so much about not the changing face of our nation and our makeup, because that's who we've always been. It's who we are, but the changing face of leadership of our nation. And I think that's really, really fantastic.
I do too. It's so exciting to know that, you know, we are trying to make a difference. I know there's still so much work to do, which people keep reminding us. But now I want to talk about, apparently, more good news. There's an opportunity that we may have a vaccine sooner than we thought.
And I mean, whoa, it didn't completely come out of nowhere. Like, we knew that this news was coming, but I think it was just so shocking that it was like, boom, first thing Monday morning, like stocks are going up and the world is freaking out, because this first announcement of Pfizer's progress on a vaccine, they're talking about it might be 99% effective. But before we go there, I how I am. We have to pump the brakes a little bit. Everyone's just got to pause, because I want to sort of put this in context. So what happened is that Pfizer released a press release this morning after an independent group of scientists took a look at their data from the trials that they've been doing, and they said, wow, this vaccine could be 90% effective. Now, that data has not been reported in peer-reviewed journals. It has not been made public for everyone to review and scrutinize, which is part of the scientific process. That's part of the actual process. But what happened is they took 44,000 volunteer individuals. Everyone got a shot. Half of them got a placebo vaccine, and half of them got the vaccine. Of that 44,000 people over 3 months, 94 of them had coronavirus, and only 10% of that 94 were in the vaccine group. That's where they get the 99% effective from. But there are still, while this is really exciting, and I don't want to take away from the hope of this, because I have a lot of hope around it too, we have to be really, really, really careful before we jump to any conclusions.
Well, speaking of hope, Dr. Anthony Fauci seems hopeful. He said that results suggesting that this 90% plus effectiveness are just extraordinary, in his words. He said not very many people expected it would be as high as that. My question for the average listener, and we hear about, you know, these different pharmaceutical companies around the world doing these tests. So let's say we have 3, 4, 5 vaccines to choose from. Is this a scenario where we're looking at like, okay, well, this one might be 60% effective, this one might be 78%, this one might be 92%. Are they priced accordingly? Do we have to choose? Like, I've never really thought about that. I get a flu shot. I don't know who it comes from, where it comes from. I just get a flu shot. When it comes to COVID-19 vaccines, like, what do we need to know in that regard?
Well, you bring up such an incredible question, and this is one lots of people are going to have. on the whole, so there are lots of people who make flu vaccines. Not lots, not like thousands and thousands of people, whatever. But there are several organizations that make flu vaccines, and they all have about the same efficacy. And efficacy is what we mean when we talk about that percentage that it works, okay? And flu vaccines can vary. It varies year to year, anywhere between 30 and 70%. It usually hits somewhere around 55 to 60% effective. So this being 90% is why even people like Dr. Anthony Fauci are like, whoa, before we even release the data, that's really big. Because Pfizer as an organization, built of scientists, and say what you will about Big Pharma, but they're not going to come out with a press release like this unless they feel pretty confident about what they have. So while we have to be cautious, we can be excited. But to your question, we don't fully know yet. So this is going to be different from the flu vaccine in that no matter where you get your flu vaccine from, they're all pretty much the same, and they're all going to pretty much have the same percent efficacy. When we get to this vaccine, we've never been here before. So the likelihood is that hopefully if we find the type of vaccine that gets us to 90% and this data sticks, meaning this data stays with us and it plays out over months and months, other individuals will make vaccines that are similar to it so that regardless of the type of vaccine you're getting one that is more or less 90% effective if that ends up being the case.
Well, yeah. I'm also curious to know your thoughts on this. We're seeing this morning that the Biden transition team has already announced a coronavirus task force. He's taking this thing very, very seriously. Obviously, he is a senior citizen. Let's call it what it is.
Absolutely.
He's at high risk, and he knows that millions of Americans are too. How, as a health professional who's been fighting this thing day in and day out for months now, 8 months, how does it make you feel knowing that he's taking this very seriously?
It was another thing that brought me to tears over the weekend because this is who I am. It's part of what I do, and I'm such a nerd about this, but I also like care about, humanity. I was reading Joe Biden's, plan for coronavirus, and he was doing things like actually ramping up the Defense Production Act, something that, the current administration said they were going to do in April. They did for ventilators and then a little bit for PPE. So I don't want to take away from that, but Joe Biden's planning to use that to its full capacity. And what that means is that under the Defense Production Act, to remind the listeners, what the president and the administration can say is everyone else has to stop making what you normally make. And we need you to start making this stuff to basically keep people alive because these are unprecedented circumstances. So what Joe Biden plans to do is say, hey, the government is going to fund you while you do this. We need you to pause production on your, My Little Pony toys or whatever. And we need you to make needles for vaccine injections or whatever that might be.
Well, it's like Suave hair care products all of a sudden making antibacterial or things like that. And this is usually used in wartime.
Right. And or in these, sort of extreme circumstances, and lots of different companies, I actually used to work in manufacturing a little bit. Companies can do these things. They can scale up and down. But the point of this is that there's all these tools and resources that are there, and listening to the scientists and leading with science. That's the biggest thing that the Biden administration is promising to do. If you go to their website, they clearly lay out exactly what the coronavirus plan is going to be. And it's almost overwhelming because there are so many options and they have so many really strategic ideas and ways to implement this. And the second they have an opportunity to do that, I think it will be a game changer.
Well, Dr. Jim Simmons, thank you so much for discussing this with us. Now, coming up next, we want to continue the conversation because America's favorite weatherman, Al Roker, has announced he had prostate cancer. It's also Movember. We want to be educated on the importance of getting your checkups. Stick around with the new Channel Q.
After a routine checkup in September, turns out I have prostate cancer. And it's a good news, bad news kind of thing. And good news is we caught it early. Not great news is that it's a little aggressive. So I'm going to be taking some time off to take care of this.
That is America's favorite weatherman, Al Roker. And I will tell you, I've worked next to Al Roker many years at the Golden Globes red carpet, and he is the most kind. Like, there's not an ounce of ego in this man. He is such a gentleman, announcing that he has prostate cancer. We've got Dr. James Simmons on the line to talk about the importance of getting checked. It's the most common cancer amongst men. 1 in 9 fathers, brothers, uncles, sons will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime. How important is it that Al was able to come out and share this message, and how important is it for us to pay attention to it?
Well, it's extremely important because there's such a stigma for a lot of men in general, particularly men from marginalized and underserved communities like the Black community here in the United States, to actually discuss their health and be open about it and talk about preventative care and things like the big C word, right? Cancer is really scary. I don't care if in this situation for Al Roker, they caught it early, but it is aggressive. Like if anyone starts talking about cancer, we all freak out, right? That makes a lot of sense. So for someone who is as respected and public and open about lots of his health struggles throughout his entire career, like Al Roker, to continue that trend and to say, hey, you know, I got checked with this. I found out my PSA was high. We've started to go in this direction. And, you know, now I'm going to be undergoing treatment. I think it's huge. The more visibility to this, particularly for prostate cancer, which a lot of people don't like to talk about, I think is monumental.
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of people are taking things much more serious now, just being in the pandemic and really seeing what matters in life for somebody that has never done something like this. Like, it, to us, it's like, yeah, you just go to the doctors. It's very normal. You know, it can be very scary, which could be the hesitancy of what people feel.
Well, also, for a lot of straight men, to be honest, and let's just address the elephant in the room, for a lot of straight men to go and say, yeah, hey, this doctor, possibly another male, maybe a female, is going to examine your rectum with their finger. That's a big jump.
Well, and it's pretty scary.
Yeah, and how do you convince straight men, hey, there's nothing weird about this. This is for your health.
It's really very interesting because you sort of have to tailor your conversation to different individuals, right? That's the thing that straight men go to right away, or a lot of people, you know, even some gay men, I will say, people go to and say, oh my gosh, it's an uncomfortable exam. And, you know, there's a lot of denial that goes into this. Like, I would rather, you know, not know what's going on, mm-hmm. you know, because if I don't talk about it, it's not there. Then have some stranger, you know, stick half of their index finger in my rear. But I think what's really important to talk about with this is that it's part of an overall picture of health, particularly for Black men who are, you know, two times more likely to get prostate cancer, and we don't fully know why. They're also twice as likely to die from it than white men here in the United States. So it's very, very serious. And the way that I have approached this with some of my patients in the past is to just say, listen, this is one of those things that will creep up on you very, very, very slowly. And we can make the physical part of the exam. So, you know, it's just half of a finger in the rectum. We push down. It's very, very fast. That it lasts literally less than 15 seconds, and it can change your life. So if you can take 50, you know, if you're a big macho guy, you could take 15 seconds of discomfort in the gym or at your job site or even emotionally or whatever. Like, let's put all that stuff aside. It's just me and you in the room. We're just having this conversation right now. Let's talk about this. Let's figure it out. I'll be very gentle. I'll use lots of lube. Let's get this over with and then move on.
Well, Dr. James Simmons, we have about a minute left. If somebody possibly is experiencing prostate cancer but doesn't know it, are there signs and symptoms that can also help get them to get a checkup as well?
You bring up a really interesting point because, unfortunately, with prostate cancer, there are usually when the signs and symptoms happen, it's very late stage, and it can be, you know, later on in the course. So this is why we recommend for if you are Black in the United States, starting around age 40, talk to your primary care provider about doing a screening. It's called a PSA. Other individuals, we usually say somewhere between 45 and 50, but it's really honestly never too early. So I know that's a little bit of a controversial statement in the cancer community, but if you are a man, somewhere around age 40, it is okay to talk to your primary care provider about whether or not you should get a PSA, prostate stimulating antigen test, PSA, and if you need a digital rectal exam. Definitely if you are Black or a person of color, but for everyone, it's okay to have that conversation.
Listen, Dr. James, I'll tell you,
early than late.
I'm white as can be, and I turned 40 years old this summer, and I had all of that done. And it's uncomfortable, it's awkward, it's a little bit strange, but also my doctor said, listen, there are some things here that I want to keep an eye on. There are some results here that you do not have prostate cancer, but it could turn that way in the future. So we want to make sure we stay on top of this. We're going to get checked every single year. And now for the rest of my life, I will get checked every single year.
I love that. And I will make sure that you get checked every single year.
It's just better to know.
Yeah, I think it is too. All right. Well, Dr. James Simmons, we appreciate you. We look forward to talking to you the rest of this week as more news keeps popping up. But coming up, Dave Chappelle mocked Donald Trump with some hurtful jokes, and he's receiving a little backlash that happened on Saturday night. Night Live, and we'll have that coming up for you in What's Poppin'.
Of course, as soon as everybody heard the news of President-elect Biden winning the race Saturday, very quickly, people's minds turned to Saturday Night Live. What an iconic opportunity. Dave Chappelle hosting. Keep in mind, he was the host after the election in 2016 as well. He hadn't been there in many, many years. Hasn't been back since.
Yeah.
And this moment, he took full advantage of. Michaela Gordon, what's poppin'? And what's poppin' brought to you by California Psychics.
Okay, well, Saturday Night Live is wild. And we knew that when they brought back Jim Carrey as Joe Biden. And
Maya Rudolph
as Kamala Harris.
So good.
They're both so, so perfect. But Dave Chappelle did about a 16-minute monologue. And people have mixed feelings, okay? But one thing I know about Dave Chappelle, he's the kind of comedian. Not all comedians need to make you laugh for 60 minutes. Sometimes their job is to just enlighten you. And I think that's always who Dave Chappelle has been. Here's some audio of his monologue Saturday night.
I don't know why poor white people don't like wearing masks. What is the problem? You wear a mask at the Klan rally. Wear it to Walmart, too.
Now, I think that's so hysterical.
Kind of real.
I think it's kind of real. And sometimes that's what it takes. Now, he did get a little too real, even for the gay community. I know that they were a little bit upset with the joke that he made in regards to AIDS. The actual joke said, Trump getting coronavirus was like when Freddie Mercury got AIDS. Nobody was like, well, how did he get it? So
I get being offended by that, kind of, but also low-key, Freddie Mercury was a bit of a free spirit. And I think he would be the first to have told you
and
that.
And I don't think it is an attack on AIDS or the gay community. I think if we're going to take Dave Chappelle for who he is, we have to take him for all. Do we have any more audio of him as well?
Yeah, it gets hard to sort of pick and choose.
It does.
Well, he used the N-word a lot with a hard R, too.
That made people uncomfortable.
Of course, I understand that. But he talks about people calling him that. He lives in my home state of Ohio. This is really weird. I don't know if a lot of people realize, unless you're a fan of Dave Chappelle, he lives in Yellow Springs, Ohio, which is a pretty liberal bastion in central Ohio, but it's very hippy dippy, very like tree hugging, and he's like the only black person there.
Yeah.
And it's a very white community, but they love him. But he's been doing comedy shows in cornfields in the area to help surrounding businesses. To help other companies stay afloat.
Well, listen, he's amazing. And I think what we've learned from this year is that in order to grow, you have to be uncomfortable.
Yep.
And that's what he's always presented.
Now, wait, did you just say my vibe of the day? Is that what you just used? You just used it, I think.
I think you've used the vibe. Maybe I did. I don't know.
Just seeping in.
All right. Well, I want to finish off with this audio. This is hilarious. And what a full circle moment. Jim Carrey is Joe Biden and Maya Rudolph is Kamala Harris in them accepting the president-elect.
We need to go forward together. Unfortunately, there are situations in life, and this is one of them, where there must be a winner and
loser.
You hear my audio? I think you caught my audio and I was responding to that.
I knew he was going to do that.
Loser.
Also, there was hilarious audio of Alec Baldwin singing Macho Man at the piano, trying to take the loss. They had a really good time.
Well, you remember 4 years ago, the most heartbreaking moment of SNL, it opened with Kate McKinnon playing Hallelujah as Hillary Clinton in a white suit.
Yeah.
And so 4 years later, to see now Alec Baldwin playing Donald Trump, playing Macho Man and crying at the piano was just such a full circle moment.
Absolutely. All right, you guys, well, coming up in our final hour, I'm so excited because the political director of HRC Nevada is joining us to discuss where Nevada stands in the elections, of course, and the importance of rebuilding and moving forward. There's still so much work to do and what you need to know. Also, Nevada being the first state to legalize same-sex marriage. Question two that we voted for. We're discussing it all. We're the new Channel Q.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of all of us, welcome to America's favorite answer and question game, Jeopardy. You know how we play it. We provide the categories and the answers, and it's then up to our contestants to give us the right questions.
Oh, my goodness. You
know,
a historic weekend for so many reasons, but we would be remiss to not mention the fact that the icon, Alex Trebek, lost his battle with cancer over the weekend at the age of 80. That was audio from actually his very first time hosting the show. Little known fact about him, my boyfriend posted this yesterday. Alex Trebek, and Justin was talking about this earlier off air, our producer, and he was saying, listen, he had a long career at the CBC up in Canada before he ever became known for Jeopardy.
Yeah.
He worked with Peter Jennings up there doing the news, and then he didn't get his break on Jeopardy until his mid-40s. Which,
I mean, for everybody
chasing a dream, if that doesn't give you hope.
Absolutely. You know, it's we'll go into detail with this story, but I think everybody can relate to this memory that I have. I used to watch every single night with my papa and grandma Jeopardy mm-hmm. and watch my papa yell out the completely wrong answer.
Every time, always. Nobody
Never
ever knew the answer.
Right. Yeah.
My family,
and
too.
So I feel like a lot of people are also mourning Alex Trebek because we're saying goodbye, you know, in a sense, to a lot of memories that we shared with our own families.
And didn't you always get the sense that Alex knew the answers to every single question? Didn't you always kind of just know that?
Lisa said yesterday, Lisa goes, you know, Alex sometimes used to get on my nerves because he like just knew the answer to everything. It's like, yeah. Alex, maybe you didn't know. And I was like, Lisa, okay, calm down.
Well, it's also super fascinating. I'm going to let you get to the story, News on the Beat, in a moment. We're just kind of honoring him right now. It is super fascinating to me that for so many years, millions of Americans have tuned in to feel dumb. To feel not nearly as smart as the people on, because we sit there and yell the wrong answer over and over and over again, but we tune back in the next night to try it again.
Do you remember an iconic scene in White Men Can't Jump when Rosie Perez practiced the entire movie to get onto Jeopardy, and at the end of the movie she makes it? You'd have to see them. Did you see it?
No, I don't remember.
Oh my God, Rosie
Perez
was so cute. Did you see it, Justin?
I saw it a long, long time ago.
Yeah, I haven't seen that film in years.
You gotta go back and watch it. Rosie Perez is adorable, and she finally makes it onto Jeopardy, and it was like people's goals.
But didn't you feel like if you get one answer right
the
entire show, you just felt like a genius?
Yeah.
See, I was quite the opposite way. I always wanted to like get as many right as possible because that was the competition between like me and my grandmother and me and my dad. It was like always like who knew more, and I always like strive to learn more so I could beat them in Jeopardy.
Nobody in our family ever had any answers. We would yell them out, and we would never get them right.
I think one time I got a pope question right, but that was about it.
Oh, I like that for you. It makes me very happy.
Thank you.
So, News on the Beat, take it away.
Alex Trebek, the genial Jeopardy host with all the answers and a beloved presence on TV screens for 5 decades, did pass on Sunday at the age of 80. Now, the legendary game show host is the latest icon to die this year after a battle with pancreatic cancer. Following John Lewis and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the cause of his death was not immediately announced. Despite being ill, Trebek continued his work on the hit quiz show, providing stable enjoyment for so many in a year marked by instability. The show's executive producer said Trebek kept on going because he really believed in the importance of Jeopardy and that he loved Jeopardy and it popularized intelligence. His run isn't quite over yet, though, because Jeopardy will continue to air episodes hosted by Trebek through December 25th, so you can still watch him.
How wild is that?
A little audio.
Christmas Day.
I know.
Groove, you're smiling. I like that. Let's take a look at your response. Did you come up with the right one? No? What is We Love You Out? That's very kind. Thank you. Costs you $19.95. You're left with $5.
Oh, it brings a tear to your eye when you hear it.
And that was about a year or so ago that came out, but when he announced his battle, and it still breaks my heart every time. Justin.
Absolutely.
Hey, guys, I just thought of something. Isn't it kind of ironic that, I mean, we had two great icons pass within a week of each other, Sean Connery and Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
We never met each other.
But
we'll always be tied because of those celebrity Jeopardies on SNL.
Oh,
on SNL,
wow.
Which we just discussed, which had an iconic night Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, and this is, I think, something so many people around the country and around the world are experiencing right now, this emotional release and just these like little moments of history that all are starting to make sense right now. The dots are starting to connect, and that's how the world works.
Yeah.
You have your ups and your downs.
Listen,
and
the energy doesn't lie,
mm-mm.
and it all comes back around.
And it all makes sense in the end. If it doesn't make sense, it's not the end.
I love that. Didn't Judge Judy say that? I'm just kidding.
Do we have a Judge Judy audio? What did she say? Do we still have Judge Judy audio anywhere?
He can't. He threw it away. Find
gosh,
it.
Justin.
All right, let's do weather. It's going to be 72 in New York, 64 in L.A. It's cold today, honey. 55 in Vegas, 66 in Palm Springs, and 81 in Houston. Now give us that fabulous vibe of the day.
Every failure is a lesson. If you are not willing to fail, you are not ready to succeed.
Come through. All right, you guys. Well, joining us in this next hour, I'm so excited because she is a dear friend of mine. LaToya Holman from HRC is calling with the political director of HRC Nevada to discuss how challenging the past 4 years have been, the relief of the news of Biden, and also Nevada making same-sex marriage a part of the Constitution due to question 2 that we all voted for. Coming up next.
You know, so much of the attention right now is going to, you know, President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, as it should. Stacey Abrams getting a lot of love in Georgia. But your home state, Michaela, did something pretty monumental for the LGBTQ plus community this election. Mm-hmm. Maybe they couldn't count the votes for president fast enough, but they counted these votes. The first state in the nation to legally protect LGBTQ rights Incredible. In the Constitution. Here from the Human Rights Campaign, Latoya Holman and Brianna Escamilla on the line with us right now. First and foremost, thank you for being here and congratulations.
Thank you.
I want to say, Latoya, I adore you. I've known you for a couple of years, and you're so phenomenal. And thank you, the National Board of Governor for HRC. And then, of course, Brianna, the State Political Director for HRC. Now, before we talk about the big news, we had a great weekend. Biden and Harris, they are the president and VP-elect. We're so proud. What does this mean for all of us?
I have to say... I want to hand this over to Brianna first because I feel like she deserves that. I serve as an ally to this community, and our country is celebrating with the LGBTQ community right now. So, Brianna, what is your reaction as a member of that community?
Yeah. Well, pure joy, I can say. It was a very stressful week or so, and definitely a very devastating 4 years for the LGBTQ community. You know, the Trump-Pence administration has done so much to attack our community and strip away rights from our community, and we knew that they would continue to do the same if we gave them another chance, and that's why you have seen so many LGBTQ people organize and turn out to vote, so that we would not give them that chance to harm our community any further. So this is a very exciting time for me and for all of us.
Brianna, can you please explain to any listeners who maybe don't understand, and it's interesting that it comes out of Nevada with super liberal states like mm-hmm. California, New York, why it's so important to protect LGBTQ rights in the Nevada Constitution. Why does that matter?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that's historic. Nevada is the first state that has done this. And really, you know, the biggest reason why it matters, because marriage has been law of the land for years now, and this wasn't going to change any of that. But what this was going to do was really right a wrong in our past and right a stain in our Nevada history, where 20 or so years ago, Nevadans voted to ban gay marriage in Nevada and to include that language in the Constitution. It wasn't always in our Constitution. So this is really a moment where you can see how much hearts and minds have shifted, not only in Nevada, but across the country, and for LGBTQ Nevadans to really see ourselves and our families and our commitments reflected in our Constitution, which is really exciting.
And there's no way as an ally to this community, as a Black woman, an ally, that we were going to stand by as a community in Las Vegas and allow that to continue. We, you know, I believe as a member of the Human Rights Campaign supporter and ally, that, you know, if the best way for us to achieve these huge goals and for us to really achieve what the point of the Human Rights Campaign is, which is really to end discrimination against LGBTQ people, allowing everyone to achieve, you know, fundamental fairness, we all have to do that together. And that's, you know, me as a Black woman, the Black Lives Matter supportive community, you know, all of these different coalitions and organizations came together to say, you know, get that out of our Constitution and let's do what's right and fair for our LGBTQ brothers and sisters.
Latoya and Brianna, I'd like to ask you, maybe starting with you, Latoya, we want to be excited. We want to be encouraged, but I think the message still sticks. We have so much work to do. What do we need to focus on moving forward, and how do people help out even with HRC?
Yeah, thank you so much. I think it's really important for everyone to, yes, celebrate and take a breath, because I think we deserve that over the past 4 years. But I think, to your point, as we move forward, it's time for everyone. If we've learned one thing, Michaela, it's time for everyone to engage. Everyone has to do work. We can no longer sit by and allow, you know, HRC has, I think, Brianna, almost 4 million members, and that's great. But there are so many other members of our communities that could be making phone calls, that could be joining the human rights campaign, that could be having conversations with friends and families. And like Brianna said, continuing to change hearts and minds. Because if we saw anything, we saw how divided our country is and the work that needs to be done.
Brianna, I want to ask you before we let you go. The Human Rights Campaign was the first organization as a young gay man that I was ever a part of, that I was ever even aware on a national level, on a national scale, that was fighting for my rights. I hope that was a dog. So, Brianna, for those listening, how do we make more allies like LaToya active in the process?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. And I echo that too, because HRC was also the first organization that I turned to as well when I was coming out and trying to figure out, what I could do in the community. And I think it's just like LaToya said, continuing to engage and having these conversations with our friends and family about why these issues matter to us and why they should matter to them. I think, LaToya mentioned this too, that this election has shown us that how divided our country still is. And I think for a lot of us, we have some of those people in our own families and friends and networks of folks who, supported Donald Trump, maybe because they didn't know where he stood on our rights, or maybe they did know and they still chose to. And those are a lot of really hard conversations that we have to have as a community and as a nation with the people that don't think the same way that we do, that don't vote the same way we do, because ultimately, starting to unite our communities is what's going to help us bring in those allies so that it's less of a partisan issue. Question two in Nevada this year passed with over 60% of the vote and with support on both sides of the aisle,
wow,
both Democrats and Republicans. So this is no longer really a partisan issue in Nevada, and it's something that we have to continue pushing forward so that it's not a partisan issue in general, anywhere.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much, LaToya Holman. You know that I adore you, the National Board of Governor for HRC.
I love you,
and I love my little puppy baby that I can hear. And Brianna, we appreciate you, State Political Director for the Human Rights Campaign. We hope that you'll call in and continue this conversation, because we still have work to do, and I feel like it's going to be a long time till we get to January 20th. Who knows what could happen with the in office still. So we appreciate you calling us and answering our questions.
Thank you. We'll stay connected. We love you, and let's all do the work together.
Yeah, keep fighting the good fight.
Tell me something good.
We will do just that. It was a weekend of good news, some sad news with the loss of Alex Trebek. Great news with the election of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris us here at Channel Q. So why not wrap up this show with some more good news? How about that?
Absolutely.
Listen to this. So, two young girls fell into a pond in Calgary, Canada, and they were rescued by a group of Sikh men in the community who were out just taking a stroll. So these men got together, took off their turbans, tied them all together to create a rope to rescue these two young girls from the icy, icy river. Can you even imagine?
No!
How convenient is that you have all this extra material just wrapped around your head?
Yes!
I know how to tie a turban. Do you know that?
No.
Well, sort of. Not really. I wouldn't say an actual official turban. But when I was in Morocco for a month doing a reality show about 9 years ago, to stay cool and to keep your head protected, we had these long, long scarves. It's a 99% Muslim country in Morocco. And
yeah,
so oftentimes people wear long scarves around their face or their heads. And I learned how to tie it and then tie it within itself, and I've got pictures.
I love that.
It was turquoise.
Oh,
I stood out
like
a sore thumb, honey. I have a 6'5", still am. All right, you're up.
Why am I getting your boyfriend is saying let the dog search commence? Your boyfriend wants me to find a dog for you.
My boyfriend is texting you to look for a dog
right now.
He
just literally texted. My phone popped up, and it's your Emil.
That is also something good. We're kind of there. We're ready.
You are ready. Okay. Well, listen. If you go to Denver, Colorado, you can get a pit bull.
Okay.
Speaking of dogs, because they have found their love for pit bulls again. On Tuesday, the city passed ballot measure 2 with an overwhelming majority of 64% to allow a permit system that allows people to own up to 2 pit bulls per home. Now, the new legislation won't go into effect until January, but that's a big deal. Listen, I know people that are obsessed with pit bulls.
My brothers have them. They're the sweetest dogs.
They
they're gorgeous.
They have such a bad rap.
They do.
And, I feel like we need to start paying attention. Any kind of dog can be a harmful dog.
How about this, Michaela Gordon? I'll see you two pit bulls and raise you a French bulldog.
I love it. Those little stupid dogs can't even breathe.
They are the cutest, and they are so stupid. So a small town in Kentucky just elected a French bulldog named Wilbur to be their next mayor. The town is called Rabbit Hash, Kentucky. It's completely ceremonial, but he kept his followers informed of how the race was going on social media, and people loved seeing how it was going to turn out.
Wait, I love this.
He's a superstar.
He's a star, baby.
He's adorable. 48 hours before the campaign, though, he was posting on social media that he was taking a nap on a rug. So there's that.
Okay, he wore himself out.
Doesn't sound like he's going to get a lot done in Rabbit Hash.
He has a lot going on.
Well, but he did secure his spot as mayor, winning 13,000 of the 23,000 ballots submitted.
Wow. A star.
At 2020, when anything could happen, a French bulldog is now the mayor of a town in Kentucky. They did reelect Mitch McConnell, so this isn't that surprising.
Yeah, it's not too far-fetched, literally.
I see what you did there.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
We have a great show for you the rest of this week. As always, we'll continue keeping you updated. Look, it was a great weekend for us. We know you're probably emotionally exhausted and still celebrating, and you deserve it, but there's still a lot more work to do. We'll continue covering it this week. Wash your hands, wear your masks, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.